Well, if you've seen this movie, you know that that skinny young guy who got the flag is none other than Captain America. Now, if you don't know the story, Steve Rogers was a skinny young boy growing up in Brooklyn during World War II. Young men were enlisting, they were getting drafted to go out and fight the Nazis. And he was a very patriotic young man. He tried to enlist, but his body was just too weak to pass the physical. Now, finally, they accepted him under the condition that he complete this basic training and he volunteer for this top secret experiment. See, they were going to inject his body with this super soldier serum, right? And if it's successful, they would use it on all the soldiers. And so if all these soldiers became super soldiers, they could easily defeat Nazi tyranny, right? And the formula, the serum worked. And this skinny young guy became Captain America. Now, right after he became Captain America, the serum was lost. The inventor of it was killed. So we only ended up with one super soldier, Captain America. So you might know by now that I was a big comic book guy growing up. In fact, I was crazy into it for a while. I had over 2,000 comics in my collection, each one bagged separate, you know. So I tell people, yes, I've been preparing for this sermon all my life. I can now tell my mother, who thought all that wasted time, I could say, no, honey, mom, look, it's all coming in handy now in my later years. And I have to say, Captain America, I think, is my favorite. Oh, I liked Black Panther, I liked Hawkeye, and some of the others, Black Widow, whatever, but Captain America, oh man. He was everything a young boy could want. He was really smart. He was really brave. He had leadership capabilities. He was loyal. He had this strong sense of right and wrong, even more than most of the other superheroes. And these same qualities that I admired, now people are flocking to the theater to see these heroes on the big screen. I mean, the last 15 years of our life, these hero movies have been the rage. Maybe it's not for everything. I get everybody likes that type of thing. I get that. But I wonder why this is so popular right now. I mean, technology is great and they're able to show it, make it look realistic. But is it more than that? Maybe we need to learn something from these movies. The church does. Or maybe these people who made these movies learned something from the Bible a long time ago. Because the Bible is full of adventures. It's full of people being courageous and battles of good versus evil. Guys, especially, we like to go to movies and see things blow up, right? That's what guys' movies are about. And sometimes guys don't like church because sometimes church kind of gets portrayed as the antithesis of adventure. The antithesis of battling, you know, because it's supposed to be tame and peaceful. And that's true in one sense. But if it's totally that way, I think we've lost the point. The church should be a place where people go to battle. Right? We're in a society where people are craving to know heroes, but we don't really know how to be one anymore. So I hope this series can help with that. Yeah, I think it's fun and we'll have some laughs and we'll enjoy some film clips, but it's more than that. We are called to a battle. Now, I'm going to show a couple clips here and there, and I'm actually going to show another one here in a second if you want to get that primed and ready. And I debated about whether I could show the punching and the violence in church. And you know, we really don't want to promote violence just for the sake of violence. But this part of the Bible that we're going to be talking about the next 4 weeks is pretty violent. They're talking about Joshua and Judges is probably the most violent part of the Bible. And so though I'm giving you not giving you the worst scenes, I want you to know that I might show fighting here and there. But if you're uncomfortable with that, it's only about a minute long, a little bit. So you can leave the room now or you can close your eyes if you want that. But I want to show you one more scene of Captain America right now. So how does a skinny kid that we see in the first scene get chosen to be Captain America, the hero we see in this scene? It all happened because someone saw potential in that young skinny guy, right? It was hiding beneath the surface of this weakling, frail young boy. Now, if there was ever a Bible hero who had potential, it was Joshua. And the person who saw that potential in Joshua was Moses. Most people know who Moses is. At some time or another, they saw the Ten Commandments or maybe Prince of Egypt. People know that Moses led his people out of Egypt into the desert. And this is a story that follows that one. Moses is getting older and he's ready to die. But they've not quite reached their destination, which is Canaan. Canaan has been the promised land for the Israelites. And so they're trying to get there. And Moses must choose a successor to lead his people back into that land. And he chooses a young man with whom he sees great potential, Joshua. Joshua had survived captivity in Egypt. He had been with Moses in the desert. God even told Joshua God even told Moses that Joshua had a spirit of leadership in him. Always nice when God's the one giving you the job reference, right? There's God on your job reference. See how that goes over. But does Joshua really want this job? He would have to lead his people into enemy territory, and waiting them for the other side is this promised land was the Canaanites. Now, there are similarities between Captain America and Joshua that we're going to talk about. But let me talk a minute about the similarities between their villains, their foes, for a second. Now, Captain America's first enemies were the Nazis. Hitler leading the Nazi party in the 30s and 40s. They had no trouble killing innocent people. They did not adhere to any type of sense of Judaic Christian beliefs or value system that we hold up in our country. The Canaanites actually are pretty similar. They were the worst of the worst. They were idolatrous people. They certainly didn't live by the Ten Commandments. In fact, they gave in to their most evil, perverse desires. Murder, abuse, narcissism were the norm. Every sense of sexual deviance, every sense of, you know, just like, how bad could you get? So we have this very clear lines between the good, this good people, Joshua, Captain America, motivated by faith, morality. And we have these villains motivated by the pleasure of sin, fear, motivated by fear, causing fear in other people. But as simple as I make that sound, it's not simple. The discussion over right and wrong has been debated ever since Adam and Eve ate the fruit. We debate it still today. Questions like, what right does one party, good or bad, have to impose their values on another party? Right? Even if they're right, can we impose our values on somebody else? It's dealt with in the hero movies that we watch because that's what we are dealing with. I mean, if Captain America kills a bad person, do we say that's okay because he's bad? But how bad do you have to be? What if Captain America accidentally kills a good person while trying to stop the bad person? Is that acceptable? Under what circumstances is it okay and when is it not okay to impose our value system on other people? And this is one of the hardest parts of the Bible that people wrestle with. And understandably so. Because this is what we call, in a sense, the holy war of the Bible. Joshua was directed by God to enter the land of Canaan and kill every Canaanite. Is that okay with you? How is it possible that the same guy who told Moses earlier in the Bible to with the Ten Commandments, do not steal and do not kill, and now he's telling his people, go into this land and kill every Canaanite? That's tough stuff. Yeah. Well, I've been to seminary and I still don't really know the answer. Not totally. It's something to wrestle with. But let me start with a few things about this that this does not mean. It was not about race. After all, if you know the story, there is a lady named Rahab. Not only was she a Canaanite, she's a prostitute. And so if anybody represented evil, it was her. But she was allowed to live because she knew, she understood that it was the one true God. And she did the right thing. So it wasn't about race. Number two, the goal was not to enslave or rule over this nation. That was never part of God's direction. And I don't believe this was a license to steal and kill whenever they saw fit. How can it be when the Ten Commandments just said, do not steal, do not kill? So why was it allowed? Why was God doing it? I believe he's establishing a people who needed to be able to grow and prosper so eventually they would be a blessing to the whole world. And that comes from Genesis 12, I believe. The whole reason why Israel came into being as God's people was to eventually bless the whole world. This was all about evil not winning the day, because we were at a point in history where if God's people do not last and do not conquer and do not survive in an age where it was barbaric, kill or be killed, and God's still allowing people to have free will, then what's going to happen? Good is going to get snuffed out. It was about stopping a people who were totally idolatrous, pagan in their worship and lifestyle. Now, I personally believe, and I think this makes theological sense, that it wasn't personal. And, you know, God didn't hate the Canaanites individually. I mean, God loves everybody, right? But their choices sealed their fate, as they always do. And so we must walk a careful line moving forward in history. God's people have chosen at times to use their claim as Christians to demean, hate, kill those who don't look, act, or believe the same as we do. And that is a terrible apostasy. We dare not ever think we are above or better than someone else. And Jesus could not stand when his Jewish people in the New Testament thought they were above the Gentiles. Right? So we ultimately know that it's not about one group of people being better. In the book of Joshua, God makes it very clear to his people, if you go to battle, you will only win if you remain close to me. Keep a humble posture before God. So today, how does that play out for us today? Okay, so in that day, God said, I'm going to set up a system for you that every time you're humble and you follow my orders, you're going to win every war. Every time you fail to honor me, you're going to lose that war, right? So does that apply the same way to us? Yes and no. We can say this, though. We're not always going to get a clear voice from God telling us what to do in every instance, but there is the same basic principle we can adopt. In the battle of your everyday life, you will only win if you choose his path. Victory is not the same as necessarily like the Bible laid it out for Joshua. It's not always a being more successful or triumphing over the bad guy. Victory means God getting the glory and we becoming more loving, fulfilled, and wise, and we grow. It means every adventure we take God prepares us, uses that adventure to prepare us for the next one ahead. That's what I mean by victory. And if we stay close to God and we try to do what He wants us to do, we will be victorious. Just maybe not in the worldly way, victorious. We may not feel like we win every war, but ultimately we do. Now, if you're like me, I would love to be Captain America. I'm always going to look more like the before version of Captain America than the after. Yeah. Captain America, though, are we really worse off than Captain America? Cap had a shield made of the strongest metal on earth. What does the Bible say is our shield? Shield of faith. And not only is it a shield of faith, it's the Bible says it blocks all the fiery darts of the wicked. Use your shield of faith, folks. It'll block all those fiery darts coming at you. You got a shield of faith. Are you using it? So Captain America had this super soldier serum flowing through his veins. It kind of gave him strength and power. What do we have inside of us as Christians? Holy Spirit. Right? We've got that flowing through our body too. To conquer the enemies before us. So how come it doesn't feel like we have that power? How come it doesn't Monday morning it's like, shield, Holy Spirit. I mean, why don't we live it out? Why don't we fight battles? Why don't we stand up for right and wrong? Let me begin to answer these questions by starting with the Scripture. The basics of the Scripture were said 3 times by Moses, and he said it to Joshua and his people. And then after Moses died, Joshua repeated these same basic things 3 times as well. So this was said 6 times in a short amount of time to the people of Israel. They needed to get this. Joshua 1, 7 through 9. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Now, sometimes there are certain situations in the Bible where it's contextual. It doesn't always mean the same for them as it does for us. But I think I can just pop that right out of there and say, boom, there you go. There you go. That's the answer. Live it out. There's a lot of good stuff in these verses. Maybe you need to stick this on your refrigerator in your car for a while. Or in your car for a while. It'd be nice if you had a refrigerator in your car. Because this is the reason we don't act like heroes. Because we don't get this. And there are 3 things that will help you become heroes in your life. Number one, you have to know right from wrong. And most of us think we do, but most of us don't really enough. And you can't stand up for right and wrong if you don't know what it is. I'm not talking about stopping others from having different beliefs. That's what they think that we're all about. That's not what we're all about. I'm talking about knowing there's a standard. The standard is the Bible. I mean, where else could we have adopted these values but from the Bible in our history? The verse here refers it to as the law. We need to know it well. We need to constantly be reminded of it. We need to be, this is going to tell us each moment of our day what's right and what's wrong. And the hero needs to know what it is. The Word of God forms our beliefs and our values. Number 2, a hero must be courageous. One of the biggest weapons of the enemy is fear. Whether that's Nazis or Canaanites or Satan or anything. It's fear. I'm not talking about a bravery that's macho that needs to feed someone's ego. I'm not talking about bravery of trying to prove yourself. I'm talking about when you're in the valley, and you will be in the valley some days. The valley will be dark. And you can say, yeah, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear. I will not fear because thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. What do we have to be afraid of? And I resonate with fear. It's hard for me to get over. What do I need to be afraid of? Finally, a hero must be strong. Now, this one, if any of these, is the tricky one. Because if we're not careful here, what I can twist this sermon to mean is that we have all this power. And that's delicate here. It's not that we don't, but really our only hope into being strong is to be weak. That's what the Bible says. Our only hope to be strong is to admit that we are weak. And so we come to God with our weakness and we say, God, I'm just a skinny kid from Brooklyn. I really can't even pass a physical, let alone fight against the enemy. And we come to God in that way. God empowers us with His Spirit, His power, to live out our strong life. You can never, ever really claim the power or that strength as your own. And that's hard. Because boy, do we want to. There is a sense in which we, like I say, I want to be Captain America and I want to get all the glory and all the applause and say, yep, look how good I am. Woohoo! And I'm saying, we can't do that. Not the scriptures, not the Bible. But there is a sense in which you keep that straight in your head. There is a sense in which you are a hero, if you remember that. I want to, as we're getting near to close here, aren't we? I want to read one more verse from Joshua, near the end of Joshua, 22, verse 5. It says, but be very careful to keep commandment and the law that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you, to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to Him, to keep His commands, to hold fast to Him, and to serve Him with all your heart, with all your soul. My friends, if you do this every day, every time you do it, you are a hero. Every time you do that, you conquer evil. And you cripple the enemy's work. Every time you do that, you bring about justice. And you help establish God's kingdom on earth. Don't take what you do lightly. That isn't saying that you need to elevate yourself. You elevate God. But you treat it as important. You say, you know what? Every battle I face is important. Every one that I win is only going to help me for the next one. And you know what? Every time you win that battle, every time you engage the enemy and you say, God, you are the one I will serve. Bravery, strength, it's applauded by God. His army of angels are watching and they're applauding. His church, God's chosen people in the Bible are watching. Moses is looking down and David and Joshua. And they're applauding and they're saying, yes, the church is doing its job. We're fighting the battles. We're winning the war. Ultimately, we know we're going to win the war. Right? But right now, we're still in the battle, even though we know who wins the war. I used to be kind of against this battle talk because I always thought Christians twisted it and it became a battle against people out there and they became the enemy. And the people it's never people. God loves everybody. But it is a battle. It is a battle. Sometimes that pits you against people. but it is against the enemy. It is against what God has set up to be for this world. And you can be in that battle. And it's a good battle to fight. Don't take it lightly.